My name is David Feldman. I'm a licensed family and marriage therapist. I practice out of Chicago and I work with clients worldwide. You can find me obviously on Twitter at David Feldman, as well as on my website, davidfeldman.com. I have an inactive Instagram if anybody wants to go there and see some old posts. Again, it's at David Feldman. And yeah, I just love working with people and working with marriages and with couples, individuals as well as couples, working on building, helping people have great marriages. It's something I passionately believe in and am convinced that something that everybody can do. Okay, so that's my story. And let's start talking about today's topic. Okay, so today's topic is called easing the pain of breaking up. Okay, and let's just put it out there as something that we all know that in general, I should say as a rule, breakups suck. Okay, nobody likes breaking up. It is definitely not one of the highlights of a relationship. I don't care how friendly the breakup is or how convinced you are that it's the right decision. Breakups are difficult, right? And I even just tweeted about this the other day, you know, getting over a heartbreak. You know, how do you get over a heartbreak, right? And what I said on my tweet was that you don't. You don't ever really get over a heartbreak. But what happens is that you can learn from it. You can learn and grow from it, right? When your heart is broken through love, it's a mini trauma that can stay with you forever. You know, I've worked with clients where we've gone back in time, so to speak, and oftentimes some of the most painful moments, it could have been 20 years ago, was the heartbreak revolving around a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or heaven forbid, a wife or a husband. Certainly if it has to do with a child, you know, maybe some estrangement issues, that's for sure not something that parents can ever get over. But your heart is impressionable. So it's not like glass that's difficult to scratch. It actually, you know, can take a beating pretty quickly. So I didn't mean to use the pun there. So we don't ever really get over our heartbreaks, but we can grow from them and we can, what I call, move on from a heartbreak. And how do we do that? How do we experience, you know, a breakup, especially in today's day of, you know, Tinder and Bumble and Hinge and all these other things, Instagram now and Twitter is becoming big dating platforms and people are hooking up. How do we move on from a broken heart, a breakup, especially if we were had some dreams about the relationship, especially if we had some fantasies about what could be, okay? So the first question that I want to ask is, why does breaking up hurt so much, right? Why does it hurt so much? Why is it that I can still remember, I'm 54 years old, and I can remember one of the first times I got quote-unquote dumped by a girl back in high school, and it was just like somebody punched me in the gut, you know? It was just, you know, I still remember it to this day, you know? And if I want to, I can go back to that feeling of being gut punched. You know, so maybe anybody can relate to that. You can wave your hand or let me know that you also know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I mean, it hurts. So the question is why? Why does it hurt so much? You know, so perhaps, okay, let's ask Coach if he has a comment on this. Let me see if I can get him on here. Hey, Noah, you wanted to go ahead.
Yeah, I think, you know, the hearts are sticky and we don't notice that until they touch. So if you have tape, it's not sticky until it touches something. So your heart close to someone else's heart and it sticks. And when you separate it, it's like pulling a Band-Aid off and it hurts. It hurts to separate the two of you. And the longer that you're stuck together, the more you coalesce. I mean, this is the idea of the two becoming one flesh. You're along that process. Maybe you've even completed that process. And it's, you're literally ripping. Now it's one heart and you're ripping it back in two again. And it's supposed to be painful though, because otherwise we'd come together and come apart and come together and come apart. And there'd be no reason. There'd be no, it would change the incentives.
Deterrent.
Yeah, there'd be no, that's right. Yeah. That's the word. There'd be no deterrent to encourage us to, when possible, work things out. So I think it's actually, it's part of the design instead of, you know, instead of a negative, it's actually part of the design. It's just something we have to deal with.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Thanks. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. I once heard that my rabbi, I quote tweet this every once in a while, but one of my rabbis here once said that marriage is like a bed of roses. It's so easy to get into and smell the beautiful flowers, but the second you take a step back, you get ripped to shred by the thorns. I thought that was a great analogy. Good. Okay. So yeah. So the question is, why does breaking up hurt so much? So what's actually happening emotionally to us? You know, why do we get that gut punch? And I wrote down a few things, and maybe other people have some other ideas, but one of the first obvious things is that we get rejected. A breakup is a rejection, right? And even if it's you that's doing the breaking up, in some level, you're rejecting your ability to be in relationship, right? So there's rejection there. Certainly if you're the recipient of the breakup, basically you're being told that you're not wanted, right? And that's very painful. Another reason why breakups hurt is because oftentimes we've had dreams and aspirations of where this relationship was going to go. And that crumbled. When you get that rejection, when you get that breakup, when she says to you, I just don't think we should see each other anymore. Or when he says, you know, I'm not really into this, or I'm not sure I love you anymore. In addition to the rejection, your fantasies about your future crumble. Okay. Another reason is because we wasted our time, right? Especially for young women who feel like they're on some sort of clock. That's something that women oftentimes say a lot more than I hear men say, you know, he wasted my time, which is an interesting, that could be its own separate space. You know, a lot of times men say, well, what do you mean I wasted your time? We had 3 good years together. What do you mean? How's that wasted time? And, you know, some men just don't get it. Like, you know, a woman, you know, the 3 years of good time together is a complete waste if there's no ring and marriage at the end of it for most women. Any women who agree with that, welcome to raise their hand or give 100 so I know that I'm not in left field over here. Okay. And another reason why breakups hurt is because our feelings are hurt, right? Our heart is broken because we feel down. We feel less. We feel a lack. Right? We feel pained at the loss. And I like to oftentimes for my clients, I like to compare breaking up, especially for a significant relationship, like a death. There's a grieving process that needs to occur, right? We grieve, it's a loss. It's a loss like a death. And that relationship is something which is not just about your partner. It's about the life that you led with your partner, and the relationship in and of itself has now been taken away from you. Okay, so these are reasons why breaking up causes so much pain. Okay, so what are some of the most common feelings that we experience when we break up, right? When we experience a breakup, so those are the feelings, but what are some of the common messages that we give ourselves that, you know, as a cognitive behavioral therapist, which I'm not saying I am, but there are people who are that, which is a great form of therapy. The idea is that we give ourselves a message, and that message then creates a feeling. So what are some of the messages that we tell ourselves which contribute to the pain? Well, these are common, and I'm assuming most people here will relate to them. Number one, and I'm not putting these in any particular order, but these are, and if you can think of another one, you're welcome to chime in. But number one, I've disappointed my partner, right? I've made them unhappy, right? That's a sad message to give yourself. Number two, I'm not good at relationships, right? When a breakup occurs, even if you're the one doing the breaking up, one of the messages that you can give yourself is that you suck at relationships. You don't know if you'll ever be in a long-term relationship, right? Number three, I'm not desirable, right? He doesn't want me, or she doesn't want me. These are messages that we give ourselves, right? Number four, and this is, you know, I'm not wanted, right? The person doesn't appreciate my presence. Maybe I'm not smart enough, or maybe I didn't interest them, or maybe I didn't work hard enough, or maybe I didn't try hard enough, right? Or maybe I tried as hard as I could and I still couldn't make them happy. This is a big one for women. I couldn't make them happy. Huge for women. I mean, most men don't think like this, but women do. I couldn't make him happy. No matter what I did, no matter how hard I tried, he always was disappointed. I can't make him happy. I don't know if I can make anybody happy, right? And then the fifth one that I came up with, which I think is really powerful and perhaps the mother load of negative messages, is I'm not lovable, right? And then that's shortly followed by I'll never find somebody who loves me. These are devastating messages that we give to ourselves when we are in the midst of a breakup, okay? So once we take a look at these really sad feelings and messages, it's no wonder that there's such a heartache, right? There's only so much that a person can bear, right? And sometimes we can wallow in the despair of all this negativity for who knows how long. And sometimes even when we shake out of it, we don't ever really leave these behind. And I think Noah wants to say something. Let's see.
Right. Yeah, I've had a pattern with clients that are men with high levels of conscientiousness tell me they felt like that no matter how the breakup went, they felt like they had done something dishonorable. Because in some way, a breakup is a break of a promise. Of a relationship, and they felt, you know, some were divorced, some were broken up with a woman that, you know, maybe it could have worked, and if I'd been more, you know, if I just followed through on things better, I'd done something better. And by feeling that they didn't give it their all, they felt dishonorable, and that sense of dishonor was eating them away. Really, really common in high conscientiousness men that I've coached.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Good. That says a lot about them, and that says a lot about your clients, Noah. So. Good. I mean, that's how they should feel. I'm sure the women that they broke up with felt exactly the same way, that they did something very dishonorable. Breakups are hard. Like I said in the very beginning, there's no easy way to break up. So it comes along with the territory. And that's really going to be part of the key here to the question, so the point of the space in the first place. How do we ease this pain? You know, after we've just discussed all the sadness. So for those of you who just joined, you know, we have our feelings, which is rejection, dashed dreams, wasted time, pain, the loss, grieving. And we have the messages. I am a disappointment. I'm not good at relationships. I'm not desirable. I'm not wanted. And then the mother load, of course, which is I'm not lovable. It's just that's the worst one. That's the one that we all deal with in so many different areas. So how do we ease that pain? Notice the topic wasn't how do we get over the pain. That doesn't happen. Or how do we avoid the pain? That doesn't happen. The topic is how do we ease the pain? And so I adopted an outlook, a perspective from a famous life coach named Martha Beck. So I always like to give credit where credit is due. And she came up with this way of looking at distress as she broke it down into two categories, what's called clean pain and dirty pain. Okay. So let me describe this real quickly, and then we can apply it to the situation. Clean pain, everything in life, every experience that you have in life has some sort of emotional connection to it. It's just the way things are. You know, when somebody, if somebody's dog dies, right? So there's a lot of, there's clean pain, that there's pain associated with the death of a dog, right? If you score really high on a test, right? So there's joy that comes along with scoring well on a test. There's, if physical experiences in life oftentimes have associated with them real, real emotions that are inherently tied into that event. I'll remember one time when one of my children was playing ball in the front yard and the ball rolled into the street and my young boy just started, you know, running after the ball. And in the corner of my eye, I saw a car coming from down the block, right? I experienced massive fear, okay? That wasn't fake fear. That's real fear for a real situation, okay? That's called clean fear, clean pain, right? Because your own child or any child walking into the middle of the street when a car is coming elicits real fear. The death of a family member elicits real pain, real sadness, real grief, right? Scoring well on a test or landing that big business deal or getting that great job or, you know, having some success in, let's say, fame and fortune, if that's some, if that's a priority to you, that comes with real joy. Right? Having a baby comes with real joy. So that's called clean feelings, clean emotions, right? That's the natural emotional consequence of a physical situation. Good. As opposed to that, there's something called dirty pain. Okay. What is dirty pain? How can pain be dirty? And the reason why Martha Beck described it as dirty pain is because this second type of pain has to do with all the stories that I bring to a situation. Nothing to do with the situation. It's not inherent in the situation. It's all about the stories that I bring to the situation. Okay? So, for instance, let's say what the example that I gave a minute ago, my son, you know, running into the street, heaven forbid, and their car comes, right? So in addition to seeing the car coming, which is real pain and real fear, right, I also add into that, I'm a lousy parent. I don't know how to watch kids. I'm not responsible enough to even have a child, right? These are messages I tell myself, which is totally not true. Thank God I have six children. And thank God they've all grown up fine. But at that moment in time, I'm filling my head with horrible, dirty thoughts that have nothing to do with the situation. A business deal that goes south, right? I'm a lousy businessman. Right? Well, the clean pain is, wow, this really sucks. Or jeepers, I'm going to lose a lot of money. Or if I would have worked harder, you know, let's say I can accurately examine my behavior. If I would have worked harder, I probably could have changed the outcome. The dirty pain is I'm a lousy businessman. I'll never be successful in business. God doesn't love me and I'm destined to be poor my whole life, right? That's all dirty pain because that's my story being projected onto the situation. Okay, good. So let's apply this to breaking up. And I think that there'll be a lot of people here who can relate to what I'm talking about, who understand that oftentimes so much of breaking up, heartache, is the intermingling and the confounding of clean pain versus dirty pain. Let's talk about clean pain when there's a breakup. Okay, I really like that guy and he's no longer in my life and I'm gonna miss him and that sucks, right? That's clean pain, right? I was really used to having somebody to come home to and share my day with and he's no longer there and that's sad. I'm going to be lonely, right? That's clean. That's true, right? I love the way she smiled and just made me joyful just by looking at her. I thought she was really pretty and fun to be around, and she had a great demeanor, and I'm going to miss that, right? That's clean pain. That's true. He's going to miss that when she walks out that door for the last time. He's going to miss that, right? I was hoping that we would get married and now we're not, And I feel sad about that. Right? True. That's clean pain. That's a real issue that is the consequence of a breakup. Right? Now, let's take a look at some dirty pain. He never loved me. Right? He must, if he broke up with me, that shows that he never loved me. Right? I'm not attractive. Because if he really thought that I was pretty, he wouldn't leave me. Maybe he left me because I've gained some weight or I'm not as pretty to him as I was before, right? Let's take another example of dirty pain. I'm not a good lover. I couldn't please her in the bedroom. Maybe that's why she left me, right? Obviously, if she was really attracted to me or if she really desired me intimately, she wouldn't walk away, right? Another example, I'm not a good partner. I don't know how to listen. I don't know how to communicate. You know, I'm just not somebody that people can tolerate to be around, right? I can't make him happy. I never was able to make him happy. I'm just not good at making other people feel joyful when I'm around. Another one. I can keep going, so I'm going to just give you a few more to get you down in the doldrums here. I'm a failure at relationships. This breakup proves to me once and for all that I'm a failure at relationships. Right? I can't connect with people heart to heart. Right? Another one is that nobody wants me. And then the last one, again, is back to the mother load of all negative messages that we give ourselves, which is, I'm not lovable as a person. I'm not good enough. That's the ultimate sadness. And when we look at our own internal failures and we define ourselves by our own insecurity, that becomes our identity during this time. And it's crushing. Right. These are all dirty examples of dirty pain, because most likely he loved you dearly. He really did appreciate who you are. And most likely he found you massively attractive and still does. And most likely you were fantastic in the bedroom or decent enough. I mean, no one here has to be the best of the best, but sure, you got the job done. Most likely could be that thing was the issue, but most likely not. That's usually not the case. Most likely you could make your partner happy. I'm sure that you and your partner spent many, many days, nights, weeks, years, months, very happy. I'm sure you made your partner laugh. I'm sure you bought your partner flowers. I'm sure you brought her much joy. I'm sure you made him feel good about himself, for sure. And there's no way you were in a long-term relationship for more than a couple weeks if you're a failure at relationships. Right. So all this is dirty pain that we bring to our healing, to our consciousness. Right. So one of the things that we need to do when we are going through heartbreak is we need to discern for ourselves what's real and what's not. This is very important for us to do. Why? Because this is part of the true healing process. This isn't about getting over this relationship. This is about you becoming a stronger and better you. This is about you understanding who you are, what you bring to the table, what value you have, what doesn't work for you, what does work for you, what you're looking for in a relationship, how you want to feel about you. So important. Because you're going to bring this new you to your next relationship. Okay? You are redefining like an artist who's going over and over and over their painting and touching it up. That's what you're doing to yourself when you go through this process. I do have a worksheet on my website called Clean Pain versus Dirty Pain. You can, if you sign up for my email list, you can download that. And I also have an article on my website called Clean Pain, Easing the Pain of Breaking Up, which talks about this as well as a podcast, which is a little bit more in depth. But it tells the story of a young woman who went through this and even has her her worksheet that she did, and I posted it. She gave me permission to post it, and it's just incredible the insight that she gained into herself, into her life and her relationship when she went through that process. And this helps you weed out all the negativity that you tell yourself, and it also helps you identify what are your weak points, right? And then you can turn those around. You can own those stories. You can own the idea that, yeah, if you would have worked harder in this relationship, maybe it wouldn't have broken up. That's a hard one, but it could be that that's clean. It could be that that's clean in this relationship, right? Now you know better for next relationships, that when your husband says, you know, he needs X, Y, and Z, and he said it 30 times, and you just said, well, you know, you'll just have to deal with it, and then he walks out the door, then maybe next time you'll realize, you know what, maybe I should have paid more attention, or I could have made a little extra effort. And of course, this for sure works with men. You know, she asked me for some more time. She asked me to be a better listener. I never gave her the time of day, and now she's gone. Right? So it helps us grow as a person, as well as helps us remove the stories that we tell ourselves about the failure, the inherent failures that we believe about ourselves. Because that's where most of the pain, in my opinion, that's where a big part of the pain comes from. Okay? And the last thing I want to say is, you know, I can always tell people that have not done this type of work when they're out on social media, when I work with them as clients, and the way that they get over a relationship is by throwing the entire dirty laundry barrel basket at their partner. He wasn't this and she wasn't that, and he didn't do this and she didn't do that, and I deserve better and I should have known better, da da da. That's what happens to us when we're trying to bury our dirty pain. Instead of working through it, we bury it. We bury it with excuses. We bury it with justifications. We bury it with more stories on top of the story itself. So nothing happens. You just stay the same person. And the heartache is still there, because all I have to do is scratch away a little bit at the surface, and boom, that wound is just sitting right there. So we don't want to find ourselves in a situation that says, you know, I'm a queen, or I'm a king, or I'm the prize, and he doesn't know what he's missing, and da-da-da-da. That stuff may be true. I don't know. But to me, that's always a sign and a signal that there's still some internal work that needs to be done for this person to be authentic and genuine with themselves, and to let go of the true heartache, which is their own internal wounding that they have not let go of, and that keeps rearing its ugly head every time they get hit with this rejection. You're never going to get rid of all the wounding, because there's real pain. And there's real wounding that we carry with us from the day we're born, and we just can't get rid of it. We try our best. I'm 54. There's plenty. Believe me, if you're a young person, you're still going to be dealing with stuff at my age. But it gets less and less the more we face it. As Carl Jung says, shine some light on that shadow. And that's the way to get rid of it. Okay, great. I think I've shared a bunch here. I would love to hear other people's comments or opinions on anything that I've said. Maybe they have a story of how they dealt with breaking, you know, recovering from a breakup. Maybe they want to ask a question. Maybe they're going through something that they want to share. Maybe they have some wisdom. Maybe they were totally bored. Just want to say that. Coach, if you have anything to say, I'd love to hear your advice. We have Rebecca, who's here. Rubes, you seem to have participated nicely yesterday. If you want to share something again today, it's always appreciated. Oriana, you've been here since the very beginning. Liz, I'd love to hear anything that you have to say. Hi, Pratik, nice to see you. Clifford, Manny, don't Maddie and Manny, don't keep hiding. Okay, let me turn on Coach and see what he wants to say. Hey, Noah.
Is to not isolate yourself. So many people, when they have a breakup or when they're sad about anything, they isolate themselves. And we're a social creature. We need the support of others. You didn't break up from everyone you know. You broke up from one person.
Oh, great advice. That is just fantastic. I love that. I love that. Yes, that is really, really important. Yeah, there was a lot of practical, you know, the way I've been speaking today is more emotional and theoretical and more intellectual, like in your head, how to deal with it from a psychological perspective. But I love that practicality. That makes sense that you're a coach, because that's a very practical, good point to make. Okay. Maybe Jaren, you want to share something? I see Rebecca, Liz, Oriana. Feel free to, April, you messaged me a little bit earlier today. If there's something that you want to share. Okay. So, okay, I can keep going. Yeah. So the thing that people do is in this process is, like I said, you can download my e-guide if you want. And what we do is we put in one column, you know, all the issues of dirty pain, all the issues of clean pain, you know, that we talked about before, you know, how this relationship, this breakup is affecting you. You know, what it is that you're going to be missing in your life, what it is that you feel like could have gone better for you, what sadness that you're feeling because of this lack, you know. And then that's one way that you can write out, and you can give yourself permission at that point to really feel that pain, because that is real pain. You know, and that's a nice thing also about going through this process. Sometimes you want to just throw out the baby with the bathwater. You kind of want to throw out everything and say, well, you know, why am I feeling sorry for myself? No, that's not how we approach this. You know, there is there is mourning here in grief. I'll give you an example. This is if you go to my, if you download the guide, you'll see some of the things that this woman said. And I'll just read you off a few things. So she says, you know, I loved him and I still do, right? She had the strength once she did this this process to admit that she still loves him, you know, instead of saying, well, he left me, so therefore, you know, screw him. No. She says, I trusted him, right? That's going to hurt. She lost somebody who she trusted. He was my best friend, right? It sucks losing a good friend. He understood me in ways that other people didn't. Right? This is a truth for her that she's going to feel sad about. He made mundane things special. He was the first man I saw a future with. Okay? So, and she writes some more, but let's go into some of the dirty pain here. This is what she says for dirty pain. It's a pretty long list, and you can get all this and take a look at how she did this. He never loved me. He never cared. He doesn't respect me. See, these were messages she was telling herself about herself and about the relationship, which weren't true. He was only using me to fill a void. He never really cared about me. Right? Another thing she said about herself was, I'm too intense, too controlling, and can never go with the flow. Right? These are things that she believes about herself, which she was allowing to break her heart. My expectations are too high, and it's not easy to love me. Like, that's really sad. Somebody would say that about themselves. Right? So when she went through this process, she kind of really was able to isolate out, you know, what was true about herself and what she was making up about herself. And that gave her the fodder to do the personal work to help her get rid of some of these negative messages about herself, right? This is like I mentioned earlier, what Carl Jung describes as shadow work, where we own, you know, some of this. Like, for instance, maybe she is a little bit too controlling, or maybe her expectations are a little bit too high, right? She has the freedom now that she writes this out to say to herself, you know what? It could be true. I'm not sure that was what was going on in this relationship, but it could be true. right? So this is the deep emotional work that we need to do. It's not that hard. You just have to write things down. But this helps you kind of get over, not get over, but ease the pain of breaking up. Because it separates out, you know, the true feelings of grief that are quote unquote legit when we lose a relationship versus the more contrived feelings that we create in our own mind that convince us that we're not good enough as people and that we're not lovable. Okay? Excellent. Well, I'd like to give the floor to somebody new if they want to chat or say something, maybe tell a story or share an experience that they've been through. Maybe there's a process that they've gone through in the past that has been helpful to them. Maybe there's a question, you know, maybe somebody has a question like, how do I know which one's clean pain or dirty pain? Or maybe they have a question like, I'm too busy crying to separate these things out. You know, okay, let's see, 2022. You seem like you have a question or you want to talk. Let's see. Hello there, 2022. Just unmute yourself.
Hi, actually, you can. It's Teresa, and I have another account. I realized I'm in my ghost account. I call it my spy account, but
okay, you're spying on us. Okay,
know
no
me
problem.
As I'm still War Eagle's wife.
Oh yes,
I messaged you. So
yes.
I'm my husband. I actually, it's really difficult because I'll try to put it short. I'm going on to be 60 next month. And so I guess the pain that happens is that I've had a 12-year marriage with a man, and we have a child that's 12. And everything that happens, you know, I am a woman of faith, and he has no faith, no relationship with God. And I think the issue is kind of like you read the girl's story. Maybe I had my expectations set too high. I was trying to honor my commitments. And so he's borderline. He's probably some narcissistic, controlling. It hasn't been an easy 12 years. There have been many periods where because of maybe being abused as an only child, he isolates, and so he would just leave the home. And me and my daughter have, you know, constantly welcomed him back and forgiven him. And I think it's all that effort that we put into the relationship that when it came to where he just left and decided not to come back and work on the relationship and just gave up, that I have a 12-year-old who I think still thinks he might come home because she's used to him leaving. But yet I feel like, no, I've never seen these signs where he is just pretty consistent in saying, I just want a divorce. And we are going on over a few months. He will hide. We don't know where he is, although I've figured it out.
Okay.
Not a lot of communication. And so I've been... In the month of December, I went to grief share. In the month of now, I'm in divorce care because, so I'm trying to get help for myself to be stronger, but
yes,
it's like a complete loss. It's like a death. You lost someone and now they're gone, and all your hopes, your dreams, your goals, your life, you're now alone. Everything is gone and shattered, and you're left
right
with a child that is also looking to you to be their strength.
Right.
So it is very difficult. I appreciate it. I didn't know you're on here, so I thought, oh, I'm gonna listen. It's very helpful. I actually studied Gottman, you know, relationships, communication.
Okay.
I'm very self-actualized, so I can look at people's perspectives and pretty much understand. So I have a lot of understanding in him,
okay,
and my daughter, and in myself. But that doesn't help the pain.
Of course.
The heartbreak, see, you know?
Yeah.
And course. Feeling like injustice. So yeah. My relationship with God, I'm like, there's the part you feel guilty because I feel like I probably wasn't the best example of a Christian because I probably kept telling him what he could do. And it wasn't where he was at in life. So I was assuming he wasn't where I am in the relationship and not where he was. And the other part is just, I don't think I respected him. Maybe, like, I read this book, Love and Respect, and then it was like, aha moment. I grew up with all girls. I have 5 girls and 1 son. And so it's the same thing. You know, you're like, wow, I guess I don't think I was respecting him. And so it's difficult because you have all these what ifs and you just wish that person would have given you that opportunity to make those changes and to repair the commitment of marriage versus just, okay, well, you know, my cycle's repeating.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which right. We tend to do. If we don't realize what we did in this cycle, we'll repeat it until we realize the part that we added to that cycle.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, I mean, I just wanted to say, hey, and I appreciate you and my situation and what I'm trying to do to get help. But it's just really, like you said, circling the drain with all the different emotions of grief and everything and how to ease yeah. the pain. I appreciated yeah. your dirty and clean pain because I probably have a lot of both.
Right. Right. I'm sure I can hear it, you know, like, first of all, I just want to thank you for being so, you know, forward with your story and for sharing with everybody. And I think most people can relate, not obviously to the same extent, but definitely, you know, to some extent with the story that you gave and the feelings that you must be having. So thank you for that. You know, like, you know, messages that you may want to be on the lookout for is, you know, things like, you know, you mentioned that you have a bunch of kids.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm confident that you're a good mommy.
Yes.
You know, I'm confident that you're a good mother. And you may be thinking to yourself, you know, I have a 12-year-old and now this 12-year-old doesn't have a father and I'm not a good mother to my child. No, I've let them down or this is my fault. See, those are messages that you could be susceptible to. And then the data doesn't really show that. The data shows that you're a good mother and you have a successful track record as a mother, and something uncomfortable and disappointing is going on in your youngest life.
Yeah.
You know, and those are two different ways of looking at yourself. I'm a good mother, I'm a caring person, I'm a loving mommy who only wants the best for my child. And at the same time, something really disappointing is happening right now.
Yeah.
You know? And
one thing that I think both of us have to go through is that all the adult children and everybody that knows me and her and what we've lived through in the last 12 years, they think it's a good thing. So they think you're better off for it. And they don't understand your life just ended and you're grieving. And the last thing you want to hear is this is a good thing.
Right.
You want to be able to understand and grieve through it. And then the other thing is like, there's that hope in the back of your mind. Well, you're all telling us that this is great, move on, move forward. But what if he decides, you know, well, what if God gets a hold of his life? What if changes are made? What if he suddenly realizes and wants to come back and work on it? There's all those what ifs. So there's this hope you still hang on to, right. Both her and I.
Yeah.
And yet everybody just wants you to hurry up and move on. Don't let him back. You know, just close this door. And that's difficult to deal with when she doesn't want to hear that. You know, that's her dad.
Of course.
And so that's that adds a layer of complexity because, yeah, my children are in the last year. This is the complexity of it. I have other marriages, and two of my ex-husbands passed away last year also.
Wow.
One died in January, and so my daughter lost her dad, and they were really close. And then my first ex-husband, who has two girls, passed away on the first one's birthday. I mean, we were a family that if it was Christmas, if it was Easter, if it was someone's birthday, if it was, we have 10 grandkids, that everyone was one unit, and I'd call it my village. I remember one year in church standing at midnight mass and looking down the pew of, I don't know whose church it was at that time, but I realized that God blessed me in the fact that I always wanted to have a family, and that not one child was standing by their natural dad, but that we were all one big family and we loved each other.
Right.
And so I had this gift, and in one year, it felt like Job, all the men just died or left.
Right.
And you're left hanging on, and like my children are successful. They have families. Everybody loves each other. That's a huge support system, but right. Nobody liked this one that left.
Okay.
Sorry, I talk way too much, and I'm entirely transparent, but.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, again, I totally hear what you're saying in terms of, you know, it's inappropriate. You know, we need to respect the people, the quote unquote victims of this heartache, you know, certainly your child and certainly you, you know, so I feel for you, you know, and on the other hand, obviously your children care for you very much and love you, which is a good sign. You know, they may not be expressing themselves in a way that is the most sensitive, but the reason why they're speaking to you in the way that they are is because they love you and only want the best for you. And so that's something that, you know, you can bear in mind as well, that they're not out to hurt anybody, even though they may be doing that. But it's coming from a place of love. And so you're fortunate in that sense that you have people that actually love you and care about you and about your daughter. And it sounds to me like you've had relationships in the past with men, and, you know, you've had families before. So I'm assuming that they didn't treat you the way that this man does, which means that you know how to be a good wife and a good partner. So yeah, I would definitely recommend, if you get a chance, to take a look. I'll send you, I have your other account, so I'll send you a link to that worksheet, and you're welcome to take a look at that. So thanks for sharing that with us. Anybody else want to chime in or have a comment? Maybe they want to share a story of how they overcame their heartbreak. If there's some technique that they use that they want to open up about, let other people here know. Maybe there's some message that they tell themselves. Maybe people think that, like, I know there are a lot of men that feel like hitting the gym is like the best way. And it probably is, for sure. You know, maybe there's some women that have some ideas of how they get beyond some of the challenges of the loss that they feel when, you know, when there's heartbreak. Okay, Rubes, I'd love to hear from you. Let me just turn on your speaker. Hey, Tishrei. Hello.
Hi, David. Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
So, first of all, thank you again for having this space. It's very therapeutic, I would almost say, to hear other people's story as well and kind of compare and contrast with your own life, and your advice is always very great. The one thing that I was going to add was that one of the things that really helps me, or helped me through a breakup, but also, like, this can apply to pretty much any relationship in your life, intimate or platonic, is finding the strength to forgive the other person and forgive yourself as well. I think a lot of the times we hold on to a lot of shame because we can feel like, oh, like, like you were talking about dirty pain, we can kind of feel shame about being involved in the relationship in the first place, or, you know, feel like we were stupid or dumb to like get into the relationship or deal with what we did. And, you know, there's a lot of shame, I guess, that can be involved in going through a breakup process as well. So one of the things that I think definitely helped is finding the will to forgive yourself and forgive the other person. Now, that can take a long, long time, but I think consistently working on that can make the process of dealing with dirty pain a little bit easier, because you're not placing blame on yourself. And like you said, like, if you place blame, then you're not really dealing with the pain. You're just kind of, you know, either pushing everything onto the other person's plate or your own plate at times too. I think finding that ability to, in your day-to-day, if you find that you're dealing with dirty pain or negative thoughts are coming up, you can kind of either meditate on that or just talk to yourself and say, like, yes, this happened, but how can I reach a place where I can forgive both myself and the other person?
Beautiful. I really, really love that. And I think you're touching on what could even be another spaces, which is, how do we get to the place of self-acceptance? And you can correct me if you think I'm not understanding what you're saying. Okay, sounds like I'm on the same track. How do we get to that place of self-acceptance, right? So this is a huge part in what I call learning how to become a compassionate listener and a great partner, which is that, you know, one thing that a breakup reveals about ourselves is some of our failures, some of our limitations. I shouldn't call them failures. Some of our humanity. It's really the word that I'm looking for. It reveals our humanity, you know, and we're oftentimes so afraid to face that humanity, right? I'm imperfect. I'm a perfect soul in an imperfect body, right? And God has put this soul in this body to experience the difficulties of life and to do its best to overcome them and become elevated through that challenge, right? And there's a piece of us that just wants to reject that. We don't want that. We want to connect to the infinite perfect nature of our soul. And we are embarrassed about the humanity that comes along with having a body that lives in time and space. Right. And so we feel humiliated. Like you said, I the fact that I was involved in this relationship, that's embarrassing. Look who this person turned out to be, or look at how I shared my body with this person. And now I'm embarrassed about that, you know, or other types of anger that we could have. Let's just say the person went on to have a great relationship with somebody else and we feel like a failure because of that. Right. So there's a lot of, how do we come to accept ourselves? And a lot of that has to do with some of the work that we're talking about here. Once we shine light on the messages, the negative messages that we give ourselves, we're able to look at them straight in the face and say, yeah, some of that's true, but that doesn't make me not lovable. That's the key to everything. Right. I'm an imperfect, lovable human being, just like everybody else. And that's like a huge thing on Twitter. Like, we see that with social media today and Twitter, people pick out the human aspect of somebody else and then they parade it around and use it as a hammer to knock the person down, right? It's disgusting. Everybody says there was a guy who, I don't know if anybody saw this, maybe some people did, but there was a gentleman who put on Twitter a picture of his wife shoveling snow. And it was in the morning after she just finished this 12-hour workday at the hospital. So she was a nurse or something. And she comes home and she's shoveling snow. And he puts on Twitter, I have the best wife in the world because she's shoveling snow after 12-hour shifts, right? So the Twitter, it went crazy over that post, you know. There's a whole story behind it of how the wife actually wanted to shovel the snow to get rid of some stress. But nobody knew it. So somebody says, every day Twitter has one person who they pick on. your job is not to be that person. That to me was like the funniest response, you know? So the point is that we take a weakness that we see in another person sometimes, especially in social media, and we blow it up. We
crucify that person
over that weakness. How sad, right? And so we need to learn to accept ourselves with all of our weaknesses in order for us to help overcome our own limitations. I don't mean to go on. We could talk about this. I'm going to let Martin speak. I've spoken enough here. Let me get Martin on the line here. Hold on. Hey, oh, it's Martina. Hey, Martina. You with me? Oh, you got to turn on your, mic. You may have to allow Twitter to access your microphone. So that may take a second for you to do. You kind of have to go into your settings and kind of let Twitter get access to your phone. I'm going to just let Terrell speak for a second, unless you can figure out how to do that. Let me invite you again. Oh, no. You just need to un... Yes. Here, I'll invite you to co-host. Well, you just need to, Martin, you just need to try, you just need to un...
Oh,
there
yeah.
You go. There you go.
I apologize.
That's okay.
Sure you're talking to me. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know what? Everything comes down to you being you, believing in yourself, and that's the only way you can project out. And when you have trust in yourself, you have understanding, then you move it forward. You pay it forward. You know what? It's our imperfections that are perfect. And, you know, we seem to, with this COVID thing, become very cynical, very angry. We shouldn't. It should bring out the best of us. And, you know, I feel just kindness, it's priceless. And you know what? Once you believe in you, you can believe in others.
Uh-huh. Excellent. That's a great point. Yeah, I mean, self-confidence is huge in your ability to overcome any adversity, you know, and I agree. I definitely think that, you know, the more we lean into, you know, our godly positive attributes and our, you know, our infinite capacity to achieve and to connect, I agree. That definitely helps a person overcome the negative messages that they may be telling themselves. Thank you, Martin. Terrell looks like he's been waiting here nicely, so I'm going to give him the floor over here. And let's see. Hey, Terrell, how are you? Yeah, you just need to unmute yourself. You getting closer? You just need to hit the unmute. There you go.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, building the name. Well, anyways, your name speaks to what I'm about to say.
Okay.
And it's the previous speaker also spoke to it also. But I just like to add on to it and further share my understanding with it. And I appreciate you guys for allowing this for me to share it. But okay. As the previous speaker said, about being be you and practice being yourself. And then again, to what you said too about the imperfect person and the soul that you are. Now, if you go to Holy Scripture in Genesis, it said, I'm just using the shortest rhetoric I can to make this point. It says, God breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Now, it's also in reverse, that it could have been the soul became the man. Well, the living soul became the man. Now, here it is, though. it's always about growing the human body. But this, in the sense of growing the human body, is simply to grow into the soul. Because the soul is the fullest of the energy and the makeup and the everything that has to do with life. Like it says, he became a living soul.
Now, I love that, Terrell. I really appreciate that. That is fantastic. That is a really good understanding. Yeah, how the body goes into the soul, meaning the body, like the soul is the apex, so to speak. And I think that's a very good paradigm for what we're trying to do for ourselves. We have to purify the body, so to speak, with the holiness of the soul.
Awesome. Exactly. And I love the words you said, purify.
Yeah.
And but I also look at it as like you're maturing, growing the body to be the apex, to reach that apex of what the soul is all about. And that's the connection that we have with that soul in order to mature to the level of the soul.
And beautiful. I really respect that, and I appreciate you sharing that, Terrell. Thank you. That was great. That was great. I love that. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to let Liz. Liz has been waiting patiently here. Let's see if she is ready to chat.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to add kind of on what you were saying about grief and kind of what Martin was talking about with confidence earlier.
Okay.
One of the biggest things that I've learned in like helping ease the pain of breaking up is to retire the language that you use with that person, which is really hard because we build up inside jokes with people and nicknames and all these really private, almost like little worlds we have. And it's so beneficial to write about that and keep it to yourself privately, but don't call your next partner the same nickname and don't try to, because it's going to be less impactful, and you just need to have confidence in the next new thing that you'll be able to create those same little worlds in the same way. And a really good kind of allegory that I've heard for like any kind of loss or grief or pain was from this writer, Cheryl Strayed. And she said that you kind of have to look at some of these things as being like passing ships in the night. And some of the relationships that you lose are almost similar to like seeing a phantom ship. And maybe at one point in your life, you would have been on that ship, or you would have jumped into the water to try and go chase after it or something like that. But now you're on a different boat and you're going somewhere else, and you need to accept that and just kind of let that loss or that person move on. Uh-huh. And that's all that I wanted to add, is just, I feel like, you know, writing about all those little inside jokes you used to have with that person and keeping these things private to yourself, but letting it go just really helps. So
awesome. I definitely appreciate that. That is definitely a good practice. You know, there was a famous book that it was so famous I forgot the name and I did a report on it in graduate school, so it was so famous that I forgot the name, and I forgot, even though I did a report on it. But there was an author that did a study on how to get over trauma, emotional trauma. And he evaluated all these different techniques. And one thing that he said that was really interesting, I think his name is Tim something, or I'll find his name. But one thing he said was that journaling about something that was traumatic about 3 weeks after you experienced it. So you just journaled for, you know, 5 or 6 entries about 3 weeks after the experience, actually had as much therapeutic effect to get over things like some sort of PTSD or trauma as any of the other techniques. So cognitive behavioral therapy or mind-body work or some of this other stuff that people use, mindfulness. This was just simply journaling And so I appreciate the fact that you're suggesting writing about it, because I definitely think that that would definitely help somebody overcome the painful breakup, you know. And I also love your suggestion of not kind of trying to duplicate that same relationship with your next partner, for sure. That's so important, you know, to give uniqueness and bring a fresh kind of clean plate to the next relationship that you have and not use the same nicknames. And the third thing I wanted to mention that you said, which I thought was really good, and I think this is a biggie that I didn't mention, I'm glad that you did, is that it's not helpful for us to look at relationships that ended in separation as quote unquote a waste of time, right? Or as a failure, right? Because we're brought into each other's lives for a reason. Every person that's in this world is meant to meet up with and connect with other people. And we don't know who it is that we're supposed to ultimately be in contact with and kind of influence or be influenced by. So yes, it is disappointing if we had fantasies that this person was the one. Absolutely, that's clean pain, as we talked about earlier, and that's true. On the other hand, I think a much healthier perspective, instead of saying, wow, I wasted my time, is to, when you're ready to have this perspective, is, you know, God has granted me the connection with this other soul for this amount of time, and evidently the mission that I had with this other person is over. Now it's time for me to find, you know, hopefully my soulmate, or find the next person, you know, God will bring into my life, whoever it is that I need to connect with next. You know, to me, that's a healthier way of looking at it, rather than just saying, oh, what a colossal waste. Because there's no such thing as a waste. When you touch somebody else's heart, and when they touch yours, there's no waste. It could be painful, but it's not a waste. Okay, I'm going to give nobody here. Looks like he or she wants to speak. And let's see what they're going to say. Hi, nobody. Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hey, I just wanted to real quickly just echo exactly what you're saying, at least from my experiences. It's, you know, every relationship that I've been in my life, and I'm married now with two children, was a step toward where I am. And obviously some were more rocky than others, but you learn a lot about yourself individually, but then you also learn, I guess, about the relationship that you're in and what kind of relationship you're looking for. So sometimes maybe you think almost like, I view it kind of like puzzles and puzzle pieces. And sometimes you really think you're the perfect piece, and perhaps for the other person you're not, and thus for the relationship you're not. And sometimes you think you found the perfect piece, and it turns out for them it's the wrong puzzle. And it's about, and that goes beyond just relationships. It goes for institutions you work with, or friendships you have, or anything like that. And I think it took a while for me to get there, but I've become a lot more zen, and a lot of it has to do with my faith on understanding, you know, the relationships that you have. And just like you said, there's not really a waste, because you learn things about yourself, and you learn things about what kind of relationship you look for, and you learned what you can give and what you're hoping to receive, and just symbiotically speaking, how everything is working around you. So there's never really a waste. It's always a good learning experience. And I just wanted to say, I thought that was a great point that you were saying. So thank you.
Awesome. Thanks. Thanks, nobody, for that. Yeah, I appreciate your input for sure. And, you know, in addition to learning about yourself, let's also not forget that we're also touching somebody else's heart. So yes, for sure, from our perspective, from the way we look at things, yes, for sure, there's a growth that occurs for ourselves from relationships. But also, you know, we're there to help that other person in whatever way. Maybe it's to help them by shaking them up a little bit and, you know, being a mirror to some of their bad traits. Or maybe it's to help them, you know, to help them have experience of joy or happiness or something. But for sure, we're all connected, and when we do connect with another person, it's not only is it for our own benefit, but for theirs as well. Martin, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, it's there's a lot of things missing. Hope. Without hope, we have nothing. Where there is faith, there still is hope. Mm-hmm. And hope is an encouraging thing, not only for you, for others, for the other person. And I think hope is to be generated by you because it's your faith in believing in God, okay. In Jesus Christ our King, that it's so important that when we do have hope, we can move it forward. We can illuminate the area you're around that shows confidence. And it's so important. If we lose hope, we lose something that is something that we always have to achieve. And I always hopeful of my friends and everything else. And it is a key ingredient, I think, not only for one, it is a key ingredient for us beings to be true. And to be true is so important.
Excellent. Excellent point. Thank you. Yeah, definitely. Hope is a big one, and it's a huge part of us moving forward for sure. So yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, listen, it's 3:30 my time. I just want to share that if anybody's interested in any of this space or any of the other spaces, I do have a section on my website, davidfelton.com, underneath podcasts, where I record all these spaces and post them as legit podcasts. So they'll be there forever. You can welcome to go back. You can listen to some other ones. I really have appreciated not only having the chance to share my ideas, but more importantly, to learn from those who shared theirs. And I hope everybody else also gained from this. And just follow me on Twitter, and we'll be doing more of these. I really love this little group that we have and people that show up consistently, and even those who just pop in to say hi. And we'll see you on the next one. God bless everybody and have a great day.